I'll tell you, the challenge to the church, we got our new books, this year's books, you know, our 76th annual Illinois District Assembly, 76. And on the front page it says, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, the Lord will do amazing things among you. That's a Joshua 3:5. I love that. I got to thinking about that. I read that, I read it again, and then this morning I was reading that, and I'm thinking, man, that's really good. We need to think of that. We need to grasp onto that. Consecrate yourselves. So I thought, consecrate. Let's get the definition of consecrate. I always have to look at definitions of words. I love to do that. And consecration is a dedication to a special purpose. Dedication to a special purpose. He said, consecrate yourselves. Dedicate yourselves for a special purpose. Because God is going to do amazing things in your life.
Amen.
I believe that. That's what I want, right? I think there's not one of us here this morning that doesn't want amazing things to happen in our lives. Amen. And those amazing things, God says, I will do amazing things in your life if you'll consecrate yourself to me. Think about that. Think about that this morning. I love that our district is grasping on to this. This is our future. Not only for the district, but for the local church. That's not at all what I was going to preach on this morning, but I just wanted to share that with you. Because it is so good. In the book of Acts, we find the early church. The book of Acts, chapter 5, and we'll be looking at a little bit of chapter 4. But in chapter 5, we're going to read a familiar story. We're going to touch on it this morning. But I just want to bring out a couple points here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word, Lord. Lord, speak through me this morning. Let your Holy Spirit be in complete control. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I just give honor to you this morning. Lord, I believe in your word. Lord, I consecrate myself to you this morning, Lord. Because I know you have something amazing for me.
Amen.
I believe that. I believe that you have something amazing for this church. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In chapter 4, let's go back to chapter 4, verse 32. I want to read that first. It says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land and houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. I want to go back for a second, back to verse 32. It says, all believers were one in heart and in mind. All believers were one at heart and one at mind. Now I think about that right there, one at heart and one at mind. They were one with not only at heart, but they were also one with mind. Meaning, remember we talked about the Trinity, and the Trinity was the body, soul, and spirit, right? We were made up of a body, a soul, and a spirit. And when the body, soul, and spirit, the Holy Spirit comes within you, that means that they were one, not only with their soul, but with the Holy Spirit. They were one. They were one with the Holy Spirit. Man, can you imagine? That's what God wants us to be. That's what the early church members were. They were one with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. As we read earlier, on the day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and were what? One in mind, right? They were in one accord. They were all together. And so we find that here again, they were all one at mind and spirit. Now I think about that. I think, you know, this is the early church. Where are we at today? Are you this morning, think about this, are you one, not only personally, are you one mind and spirit with the Holy Spirit? Are you one with God right now this morning? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you saved? Are you consecrated, see, to a holy purpose? Because God can do amazing things, right? This just kind of hit me this morning. You know, and so, but what happens when not only us individually are one with the Holy Spirit, what happens when the whole church comes together, believing the same thing, and are one together? Think about that. This is what the early church was. And it said that, right here it says, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that no one was in need. Can you imagine no one being in need in our church? No one being in need in our church. I got to turn my volume down. It just dinged at me. Can you imagine that? No one being in need. Can you imagine no one in the world being in need? We can't imagine that, can we? It's like a fairy tale. But it says right here in the early church that all believers were one at heart and mind. No one claimed that anything, I mean, they just shared everything. They were just so close to God. They were just so close to God that the grace was so powerfully at work in them that all, that there were no needy persons among them. It says from time to time they would even go and sell stuff and just give it to the church. Man, I just think, okay, how far have we come from this? How far have we come from this? Just ask yourself that. When you look at the church in the world today, look at the church in the United States today. Are we there? Are we there? Are our church people that dedicated? I know there some are. There's some that's give all. They've consecrated themselves to the church and to God, most of all. And they give, and they're great givers. Let's move on to chapter 5. It says, now a man named Ananias, together with his wife, Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it in the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And a great fear seized all who heard what had happened. And I think, what purpose did God have in taking Ananias' life here? What purpose did he have? To bring fear upon the church? You know, you think about that, but what purpose was this? I want to go back. It was kept back apart, right here in verse 2. It's the words kept back apart. And that just kept ringing in my head. He kept back apart. You know, and it goes back, you know, back in where I just read in chapter 4 where it says, and some sold. So not everybody gave everything. It just some did. And I wonder about what was on his mind when he thought that he could give and he just gave part. I think about that. I think about my life. And I think about, what have I kept back? And that hit me hard. What have I kept back? Have I kept back my time? Have I kept back my prayers? Have I kept back my love? Have I kept back my tithes at some point? Have I done that? What have I kept back? And I ask you that this morning. What have you kept back? Have you kept back in your life? And I know, I believe there's not one person here that can look back through our life and say, yeah, I've kept back. I've kept back at time in my life. And I thought about that and I said, Lord, please forgive me if I've ever kept back. Not only forgive me for the things that I've kept back, but keep me from doing that again. Because it not only hurts, you know, and I think about this, yes, this man lost his life and his wife. If we read on, we find out that his wife also lost her life as well. But this is a familiar story, not only right here in the early church here, but if we look back in Joshua, if we go back to the book of Joshua, and we look in chapter 7 of Joshua, we find a story here. We find a story here where Israel, they were going up against Ai, and they lost the battle. But it says here, it says, but the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai. Now I'm not going to read all that, but we find out that Joshua got defeated there. And then he came back and he fell before the Lord. And he said, then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down on the ground before the ark of the Lord and remained there until evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. And the Lord, the sovereign Lord said this. He said, why? I've lost my place there. Anyway. I'm just going to ad-lib this part. He told Joshua, he said, Joshua, what are you doing on the ground? He said, get up off your face or sin in the camp. And what they found out, that there was a guy that took something back that he wasn't supposed to take, and he hid it in his camp. He held something back. You get what I'm saying? He held something back, and he lost his life over it. Well, this is kind of a familiar story to me, to the one about Ananias and Sapphira, because it was that act of holding back is what got them in trouble. You see what I'm saying? And we may not lose our lives physically over holding back, but I think it's a spiritual death as well. That's what we fear. We fear a spiritual death. And I ask you again this morning, are you holding back? Because it doesn't just affect me as an individual, it brings hypocrisy into the church as well. It does. And I think a worldly view of the church, they see a lot of hypocrites in the church. That's the worldly view of the church. And a lot of things, right? I see it all the time. I hear it from people. Why go to church? I challenge you to be the church. This is what this all comes down to. In order for us to complete the Great Commission, we have to be of one mind and one spirit. We have to be together, unified. And I talk about unity a lot because I believe with all my heart that unity is number one in the church. Us being one individually together with God, okay? One with the Holy Spirit. First and foremost, when we become one with the Holy Spirit, then when we gather together, we become one. We have to be. That's what the call to holiness, the call unto holiness means. We have to be a holy people, set apart, consecrated for a holy purpose. And when we do that, when we come together, amazing things can happen. Listen to me this morning. God wants to do amazing things for me personally, for you personally, but He wants to do amazing things in this church. And for before amazing things can happen, we have to be one together. And I keep saying that because I think it's the most important thing that we can keep in our hearts is to remember this. We have to be one. We have to be that. We're not always going to agree on everything. No. No, we're not. But if we're living by the Holy Spirit, He will bring us together and make us one. If we're living the way we should, if we're praying, and if we're living by the commands that Jesus gave us, see, that's that accountability that this world does not want to preach. This world doesn't want to hear about accountability. They want to hear about grace. They want to hear about love, and that's great because I'm thankful for grace. I'm thankful for the love of the Heavenly Father. I'm thankful for that. But there is an accountability to our life. And it doesn't only affect us individually. It affects the church. That's the importance of being accountable, to consecrate ourselves, to sacrifice ourselves. I mean, you know, all these messages that I've preached over the months, it's a lifestyle of not only repentance, it's a lifestyle of sacrifice, it's a giving of ourselves, it's a consecrating of ourselves. It's so that things like this does not happen. Well, you know, we read these stories and we think, why? Why did God do this? He gave us an example. He said, hey, listen, this is what you need to do. There's a reason why He put this in here, right? You believe that? What are you holding back this morning? Holding back your heart? That's a big one, isn't it? That's the first step. You have to give your heart. Man. Amen. Amen. I hear, you know, Brother Leonard talked Wednesday before about love. He shared some things with us on Wednesday night, and then Nancy shared some things on this previous Wednesday night, and things that I didn't know what Leonard was going to talk about. I didn't know what Nancy was going to talk about, but it's amazing how God lines things up. It is amazing what I hear from other pastors, from other churches. I hear this theme. And it seems like when God's, you know, even lessons, I heard, I believe Yvonne even said that in their lesson book, which was written a year prior to, some things were talked about that we talked about. God does amazing things. He knows. He has a plan. I believe that. Amen.
But as long as we stay faithful to Him, and follow Him, believe in Him, and give everything we have, then amazing things will happen.
Amen. Amen. That's my point this morning. Jacob just said it. When we give everything to Him and don't hold back, God can do amazing things for us. And He will. He'll do amazing things for this church too. I look forward to seeing what God's going to do every day. I pray. Sometimes I think, Lord, I am not worthy of the blessings that you give me. God, I am not, I don't know, I can't do this. I don't know what to do sometimes. And I just pray, Lord, just, you know, help me here. Help me here. And it's not the way I want it, but he does it. Amen. Keeping you accountable. Keeping him accountable too. Amen.
And another thing too is in our study, in our Sunday school class, and we talked about this morning, and it really, really touched me. Because we talked about trust. You have to trust him. And you have to do all these things, but you have to trust in God. Because God
Amen.
Has all the answers.
Amen.
We think we know the answers, but we don't. The only person that knows the answers, and as long as we believe and trust and faith in him, that's the man of faith. And I will tell you this, I keep saying it until I'm full of faith. And I will keep saying it until I can't hear myself talking anymore. But this is not our truth. This is our truth.
Amen.
When we walk through the gates, that's our home.
Amen. We are aliens here. That's right, Jacob. Amen. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. There's a lot that we can learn from the Scripture, and that's why I encourage you all to read and study. There's so much that we can learn, and sometimes we overlook things. Sometimes we want to overthink things, you know, by thinking it on a human, from ourselves, from our own mind. We just got to let God be in complete control all the time. We got to concentrate ourselves to Him. I invite you this morning, if you've held back any at all, just come and give your heart to Him this morning. Just come and give your heart to Him. If there's been times in your life where you've held back, and you need to repent for those things, just come and He'll forgive you. That's the gracious God that we have. He's a forgiving God. He's a loving God. I just praise Him this morning. Sometimes we just need to praise Him. Sometimes we just need to say, Lord, I thank you for the blessings that you give me. That's what we got to do. We just got to give Him the praise and honor that He deserves.